Hello, welcome to the Let's Get Running podcast. It's me on my own today, Sean Dixon. We've got Tom Craggs back next week to almost finish off, summarise this month's focus, which has been inclusion and diversity in running. We're also going to interview Kirsteen Welsh. Now, she is, well, I put a question out to Twitter last week about whether anybody knew of any non-white female representatives of GB in England, and the only name that really came up, there's two names that came up, Hannah Walker, who we've already interviewed, and Kirsteen was the other one. So we're going to ask her a bit about what she feels about diversity in running, particularly trail running, which is quite a white-dominated event, and we'll ask what she thinks. But this week, we've got a really interesting interview. We've got an interview with the fantastic Harmander Singh. Now, he's a great guy. He's a runner. He's a coach. He's a president of the Sikhs of the City Run Club. And we're going to talk a bit about the Sikh community. So in lots of different surveys, so these activity surveys and whatnot, when they're structured by religions, the Sikhs tend to be one of the least active and the most underrepresented in running events. So that's changing now. There's lots of different sort of people know. Is it Farja Singh, the 100-year-old chap who's run lots of marathons, really quite an icon of running in London. Things are changing, but we spoke about why and whether there's pressure from within the community that leads to a lack of participation, and also whether there's a lack of opportunity and whether there could be more the governing bodies could be doing to help. So that's going to be really good. That's coming up in a minute. If you want to get involved, we are moving on to a new focus in January. We still want you guys to get in touch with any things you'd like to talk about this month. Obviously, we've got one more show to go. But if you'd like to get involved, talk about our next focus with me and Robbie Britton. I'll also quiz him on his recent attempt to run a 24-hour race and run a PB in the old night 4%. We'll talk about that. But if you want to talk to us about running and mental health, so we're focusing on that, let's say that focus next month. If you want to get in touch at letsgetrunning.co.uk or leave a recorded WhatsApp message on +31 612 679 529. Leave a message there. Anything you want to say, we'll play them out on the show. So get yourself read out on the show. We want to hear about different sides of it. So obviously we all know that running is great for mental health. We want to talk to people who have sort of maybe had demons that have been helped cured by running, but also people who have perhaps fallen into addiction. I know myself personally, I've been chasing the dream for many years, and it's not always been to the benefit of my mental well-being. So we want to hear stories from both sides of the equation on that. So get involved, get in touch. If there's anyone you want to hear interviewed, you know, a particularly interesting story, then please get in touch and let us know about that too. But yeah, thanks everybody for listening in. Please rate and review on iTunes. Follow us on Spotify, all of those things. Over on Twitter, at Let's Get Running. Same on Instagram, same on Facebook. Get in touch with us. Here we go. Here's Harmander. So on today's show, we're talking to Harmander Singh. Hello, Harmander. How are you?
I'm good, Sean. Thanks. How yourself?
Very well, very well. And we were just chatting about the you're president of the Sikhs in the City Run Club.
Sikhs, yep. It's named after a BBC programme made about who Sikhs were, and they featured myself and Farja Singh in it. And our running club was called all sorts of names before that. East End, you know, sorry, like East London Runners. There's another club with that name anyway, so we thought we'd best stop that. It was named after Farja Singh, who was our lead member, and he's the world's oldest marathon runner.
Yeah.
And we called Team Farja, for example.
Yeah.
And he finally says, why are you immortalising me when we're all equal?
Yeah.
Why can't we call ourselves a different name? So I rang up the producer of the BBC programme, and they said, because I didn't want any legal issues later, I said, can we have your name of the programme? They said, we're not going to make it again. Of course you can. So there you go. And we've been called ourselves Sikhs in the City since then. And it was founded by about five elders who the average age was over 75.
Wow.
And Farja was the oldest of them. And we ran a couple of relay marathons in Edinburgh at the beginning. Mm. And they were the oldest team. And their average age was about 80 at the time. And they the relay, I think they'd done about 4 hours.
Wow. Over 80 in marathons. That's amazing.
Well, I mean, it was a relay, admittedly.
Yeah, but still, being over 80 to get round, I guess even 5-10K is pretty much amazing. Did Farja run a marathon when he was over 100?
He did, yes. He, his last marathon was at the age of 101. It was the London Marathon.
Yeah.
And he actually did a faster time when he was 101 than he did when he was 100.
That's amazing.
He had to, because I told him he wasn't going to get a medal unless he went under 8 hours.
And you're yourself, you're the veteran of 100 marathons. Could you, do you have
I'm
like
on 100, I'm on 161 now.
161, wow. So how many a year do you run?
Sorry?
How many do you run a year, usually?
This year I've done 19 and I've got one more to go on 22nd.
Wow.
But that's nothing compared with other people in the 100 Marathon Club. They run sort of like, they do about 100 a year, some of them.
Jesus.
There's one guy there who's done about 250 plus in a year.
Wow. That's incredible.
So I'm not in the league. I know my limitations. I do it for fun.
Yeah.
And to get out of the house and the washing up.
So have you got a favourite then? Have you got a race you're kind of you're most proud of, or a race that you thought was particularly special?
For me, I enjoy every single race I can. Mm. But to me, my favourite marathon is the London Marathon.
Yeah.
I say this because next year will be my 36th consecutive London.
Wow.
And I'm the only one in the world who I believe has done the London Marathon and the Great North Run every year for the last 36 years.
That's incredible. You've got
so the two biggest races in Britain, you know, I've done both of them for the last 36 years since I first got in.
Wow. And obviously you're intending to do both next year.
I've already been chosen as a pacer in the London again.
Yeah.
And I paced in Great North Run last year, or this year. Yeah. Keep on thinking what year we're in. I'm definitely going to be in next year's Great North Run because I've got a club entry.
Great. Fantastic. So let's start talking about your start in the sport. So how did you get involved with running originally?
I actually was one of the very few kids who passed their 11 plus, and my parents, my mum in particular, couldn't trust me to go on a bus on my own to the grammar school. Okay. So she said, you go down your local school with some of the neighbours' kids who she can trust to keep an eye on me. So I went there, and at that time, it wasn't the best school, let's just say. Right? Mm. It's pretty good now, probably because I left. But yeah, I went there, and I was basically bored, and I used to get into trouble. I was the only one in the sixth form not made a prefect. I used to get detention in the sixth form even.
Yeah.
And but earlier in the time, I was a bit mischievous. We used to have a system called pink slips. If you have 40 in a year, you're expelled for whatever,
yeah.
For however long. And I used to get about 39 for each year. I used to play the system, basically. And my PE teacher, John Salisbury, he's the one who beat Milka Singh to the bronze medal in the Tokyo Games.
Wow.
He said to me, Homander, you've got too much energy. You keep on vandalizing lockers, and you do this, that, and the other, and we end up making you repair them during lesson time. Mm. So why don't you expend your energy in something more creative, like sport?
Yeah.
And the one who inspired me to take up sport generally, but running in particular.
Great.
So he's my guru.
Yeah.
Really? But I believe he's still alive. I see him at Essex Ladies and Woodford Green.
Yeah.
Where they do the 1.5 marathons locally.
Yeah.
So he's a marshal there, and so he's the person who inspired me to take up running.
Great.
I then went on to Redbridge Tech College, Barking College of Technology, where there's a guy called Steve Breen, who thought I had a bit of talent, and he encouraged me further. Mm. So I took up running and basically went up to about 10,000 meters. Was about all I felt was good. You know, I could knacker myself in that.
Yeah.
My parents were very strict. My father was a disciplinarian. He was in the army, as was his father before him. But he saw the value of studying, and he says, you can only run once you've finished your homework every night.
Right.
So I used to go running at 10 at night. I used to do about 10 miles every night. I used to do about 70 miles a week. In them days, roads were safer.
Yeah.
The pub opening times were closed by then, and didn't have to duck traffic or drunks, basically. It was good.
Yeah.
And I sped up, and I ran with a club was called Essex Beagles at the time. I don't think they're in existence anymore.
Yeah.
But Ilford Athletic was partnering with them at times. But because of my strict upbringing, I wasn't always allowed training sessions with the clubs, as is normal with many within the Asian community.
Right, okay. So did most of it on your own then?
A lot of it was on my own, if there was organised races, then I would attend. And, you know, I've done about 280 half marathons. Wow. So I used to, back in them days, we used to have all these races where you literally carry a map with you.
Yeah.
And road closures weren't normal, right? Yeah. There was no traffic management orders.
Yeah.
And so you went there and you had to send a stamped addressed envelope to get your results typed up a few weeks later. Seriously.
Yeah.
and it was really, really enjoyable.
Yeah.
I still got some of the maps of the local half marathons.
Yeah.
And now you've got this thing called GPS or whatever it is. I don't use them myself.
Yeah.
I don't use any electronic gadgets whatsoever.
Really?
I'm old school. Yeah.
That's just preference, right?
Sorry?
That's just your preference. You don't enjoy those things.
I don't believe in them for two reasons.
Yeah.
The more gadgets and constant monitoring you got, the more pressure there is on you to keep up. If you don't do the mileage, don't matter how many gadgets you've got, you ain't going to run any faster.
Yeah, yeah. That's
and secondly, even my colleagues in who run the marathon, London and others, who have all these GPSs, as soon as they go through a tunnel, it throws them off anyway. To me, I know where the mile markers are. I know what speed I've got to get to. Yeah. And I know, memorize the time I've got to get to each mile marker. That's it. That's all you need.
Perfect. And you ran pretty strongly as a teenager. What was your highlight? What sort of level did you make it to?
Again, because of the restrictions on what my parents would allow me, I've got a PB of 30 minutes 14 for 10,000 metres.
Yeah.
But that was a one-off. You know, it's mainly about 32 minutes back in them.
Yeah.
So I thought it was respectable.
Yeah,
I've done the sub 430, 1,500 metres as well.
Yeah.
Have you had superstars back in the day? There was this thing called student superstars.
Yeah.
In 1983, in the C-Tech superstars, I come runner-up in the final.
Did you really?
So, yeah.
That's amazing.
So, I'm only little. And I got married at 19, so that put dampers on a bit. But, I'm not blaming her.
Just make it shorter.
No, I'm not allowed to. I can't complain.
So, what was it like in terms of the culture running? So, you said a lot of the stuff you did on your own, and you weren't able to do as many races as training sessions as you'd like. Were you sort of one of a kind? Were there other Sikhs competing regularly at the time? What was it like in that sense?
I was a rare oddity, as it were.
Yeah.
There weren't that many Sikhs, let alone Asians, to be honest. But and even today, I think it's there are a number of barriers from both sides, from the community itself, let it be said.
Yeah.
As well as anybody who gets into a position of power or decision making, it almost reminds you of the old working men's club, where unless you're a member, you're not, you know, made to feel welcome.
Yeah. Okay.
So back in them days, if there's a race that's organised, a lot of hard work obviously went in the background to organising it, and simply turning up was an ordeal at times if you didn't drive.
Yeah. Okay. And you said pressures from within the community. Was running sort of not seen as a competitive sport that you could do, or what was that driver?
It still exists today. I mean, less so now, but in the Asian community, and by Asian I mean Hindu, Sikh, Muslim, Christians. Hindu, Sikhs, Muslims, Indian, Pakistanis, and Bangladeshis in particular. That Indian subcontinent, parents value education because no one can take that away from you.
Right.
And there's a lot of pressure on all the kids. That's why you see so many accountants, lawyers, doctors, and others from the Asian community per 1,000 population than in any other community, because parents feel that once you've got an education or a skill, you can be self-sufficient. Anything else, you need opportunities, but at least you have a skill for life, a qualification. So as a consequence, parents, I wouldn't say false, but certainly are very helpful, supportive in getting their kids educated. So sport is seen as almost like a sideline. You can do it if you want, but what's the point? What did sport ever do for anybody within the Asian culture? And sadly, that's still affecting many of the Indian subcontinent and those around there today.
Yeah. And then what did you feel like coming to the start line? I guess even today, does it have an impact on you that you might be the only Sikh, particularly when you're a teenager, or an only Asian runner in the race? What did that have any impact on you?
I didn't
you?
See myself as that.
Right.
I just saw myself as, I'm third generation British.
Yeah.
So I find it hurtful when people say, go back home. Well, you know, where's home? Barking? You know? And the irony is that during the Second World War and the First World War, the Indian subcontinent lost more people fighting for Britain than many of these idiots who now say go back home when their own ancestors were hiding in broom cupboards to avoid conscription.
Yeah.
So, I didn't see that as a challenge. I used to have a haircut then. I'm wearing a turban, partly because I'm going bald. But no, seriously. I didn't see myself as anything else, but clearly, looking back at it, there were some hurtful comments and actions.
Yeah. And then do you think things are changing now? Let's look, but mainly at the Sikh community. Are attitudes changing to the benefits of sport, perhaps in how they help people? I guess you're more.
I believe so. Yes, yeah. I think sport, everything from fighting obesity and illnesses within the Asians, eating habits. It's a great way of staying alive for a bit longer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they do see the value of it. Sadly, there are other temptations from, alcohol abuse and others, which the community is waking up to and doing things itself as well as with support from others.
Yeah.
And sport, physical activity is growing.
Yeah.
Even my son is a PT and sports nutritionist and dietitian.
But
all my kids are into sport. My younger son is an international footballer, a semi-pro footballer, as well as a full-time serving police officer.
Wow.
So, we've kept it. And my wife, who tried to stop me running after I retired fire saying, has taken up park runs herself. She's done over 200 now.
Great.
So, yes, it is growing.
Yeah. But there's still a long way to go.
But within the Asian community, I think, in the early years, I was the only one. Then you saw the other other Asian down the road or across the street or in a race even.
Yeah.
And it was always nice, but there wasn't that sort of like ghettoizing, clinging on to looking at another. You just saw them as another competitor. That's all it is. And that's how it should be.
Yeah. And now, do you think it's important to showcase the stories of people like Fallujah, people like yourself?
It is. And only the authorities and the governing bodies can do something about it. And I think that they are really dragging their feet over this. All the reports and others show that diversity is lacking at all levels, but particularly at the top.
Yeah.
And it's no secret that Sikhs in the City is an Asian-led athletics club, the only one in the country.
Yeah.
And it's the most diverse. It made Valentine's Park Run the most diverse. We've got 9 different religions and none as members of Sikhs in the City. And it's just a name. We're not all Sikhs, and we still get the questions about, do you have to be a Sikh to be a member? No, you don't. We've got clubs in, our branches are in Frankfurt, Hong Kong, Canada, but our base is in East London.
Yeah.
And we have honorary members who are race directors from other countries and big races as well.
But has that all been you putting it together? Have you had much support from anyone outside of is it a grassroots movement that you've kind of pushed rather than, have you had much support from anyone to grow this?
I would say that the club members themselves are the ones who have done everything to encourage and widen the appeal.
Yeah.
And because we've taken part in so many races all over the country and elsewhere. For example, we represent Britain at the Interfaith Relay Marathons in the Luxembourg Marathon.
Wow.
And we've been doing that for 10 years. We're not quite sure what will happen next year after the election result and Brexit, but nevertheless, that's something we'll consider.
Yeah.
So we've spread the word, and as more and more regular runners have come across our interesting T-shirts with a smiley face on them, the attitudes have changed. And even now, we do have the idiots who, even when Fauja Singh went to America to stop people attacking Sikhs after 9/11, we're not saying anybody else should be attacked, but in retaliation, but people don't know who Sikhs are, and that's our fault as well.
Yeah.
So even Fauja Singh was running the New York Marathon, and you know, people were shouting Osama at him and things like that, which is luckily he doesn't understand.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, we heard it and we know the meaning behind that.
Yeah.
So as a consequence, we've spread the word. We've shown that we are embracing, all embracing men, women. We have superhero races in our events as well.
Yeah.
These are for people with disabilities. So our course is deliberately made sure that it's wheelchair suitable, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've done everything we can, and we haven't even got a base. But the good news is the local authority, Redbridge, has given us a piece of land, 108 square metres, on where we're going to build the Fowler Singh clubhouse.
Great.
And, you know, we've done all this without any base whatsoever, just by word of mouth and meeting on the street, as it were.
Yeah, that's incredible. And you mentioned about that because when I emailed you originally to get to chat about this, you said that within the sort of the governing bodies within England Athletics and within GB Athletics, there's not a single member from the Asian community. Is that right?
On the top six tiers of decision making, yes. That's, and we've had ongoing discussions with them for years now.
Yeah.
And they're, if they bother responding.
Yeah.
They normally say, oh, we're concentrating on women at the moment.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And last year in a couple of international magazines, we had this question about, is running too white?
Yeah.
I don't think it is. I think it's black and white, but there's no Asians in between.
Yeah. Right? Okay. Yeah.
There's and all credit to the people who are from the black and Afro-Caribbean community. Who are they? These are top athletes, Olympians and whatever, and they are role models. And sadly, one of the things is there are no role models for the Asians because they're not being allowed to.
Yeah.
And Fowler Singh is one.
Yeah.
There are, but for example, my role model, having been inspired by John, my role model is my uncle, Harpag Singh, who's 76, still does sub 5 hour marathons.
Wow.
He runs for Darlington Harriers. He's one of the ever presents in the Great North Run.
Yeah.
He's my aunt, his wife, she's only missed one Great North Run. And so, you know, he's the one who keeps me going. And in fact, when I got injured and I realized I couldn't be competitive at 10,000 meters anymore, as everyone else does, including Mo Farah, I increased the distance.
Yeah.
Started running half marathons and whatever.
Yeah.
And finally, when I realized my uncle had done like 100 marathons or something, or was about to, I thought, you know what, I'm going to do that. And that's what spurred me on. Until 2011, and I'd been running since 1984, I'd only been doing one or two marathons a year.
Yeah.
And that was usually the London and one other, perhaps. And when I went to Hong Kong, my daughter was studying there, teaching. I thought, do you know what? I heard about this 100 marathon club. I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
So since 2011, I've done more than 100 marathons. But I'm married. I had a professional job. I've retired now, as I say.
Yeah.
I've got a number of other responsibilities. I'm a carer for my son. And I've fitted all these in. And I don't drive. I've never learnt to drive.
Really?
So as a consequence, I get around and I do my bits and bobs.
Yeah.
But running is my therapy. And what gets me most buzz is helping others achieve their goals, which is why pacing is absolutely so rewarding.
Yeah.
Plus you get free entry into the race as well.
Yeah. Enjoy the atmosphere without the pressure.
I'm sorry?
Enjoy the atmosphere without the big pressure of a time. Well, I suppose you've got the time.
Yeah, because I think most pacers over 4 hours usually will tell you that they ought to be able to run a minute a mile faster than their pace time.
Yeah.
Because they know they can still deliver.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
So the fastest I've paced is about 4 hours 30.
Yeah.
And, in fact, I organise the pacers for the half and full marathon at the Richmond Runfest Marathons in September.
Oh, cool.
And that's been run by Tom Bedford, who's Dave Bedford's son.
Yeah, great stuff.
So I organise them, and I've paced at Toronto. I've paced a few other races. But, you know, I'm one of the less than 5,000 people who've done all the marathon majors. In fact, I became the first Sikh to do so.
That's incredible. So the thing is, what comes to me is that hearing this, like, I wouldn't know, because basically the running media, I mean, I read various different things. You see things on social media. you don't hear these stories that you're like the ones that you're telling me about. One of the first, only five people to do all the marathon majors, the first Sikh. I wouldn't know, Amanda, about that. Like, do you think we need to have more role models like yourself, like kind of the various guys, your uncle that you mentioned? Do we need to make more of these stories in order to inspire the next generation to take part and get active?
Absolutely, but I think it's a bit like going for gongs. You know, those people who keep on pestering everyone else to give them references to get themselves an MBE, OBE, and others. They're actually legal, but a lot of people do that. But I don't do any self-promotion, you know, and others don't.
Yeah,
it's up to other people, the governing bodies, to search out and look for and support and promote.
Yeah.
And as I said, we've been asking England Athletics, we would like to be their Asian ambassadors.
Yeah.
They've said no. Right. We've asked them, if you can give us a one free session of run leaders thing, that, you know, the grassroots coaching certificate.
Yeah.
We'll get you 20 Asians who could then proliferate all over and get more Asians into running. And they said, no. Yeah. We said, well, they said, you have to be our members to get this, that, and the other. We said, like, our members have said, we will tick all your equality boxes, but you don't tick ours because you don't even meet your own.
Yeah.
So it's a chicken and egg. But the thing is, like, what's in it for us? If all we're going to get with 70 members, we're only going to get one possible free entry into the London Marathon.
I mean, I was thinking, as well as having a podcast, Let's Get Running official UK England Athletics Club, but I just didn't really see what it was giving us, really. So I did the same thing. But anyway, that's another conversation.
The London Marathon, kindly, London Marathon Charitable Trust, which Fajr won one of the awards, they've given us, for the last 2 years, a free entry to help raise money for the Fajr Singh Clubhouse.
Mm.
And, you know, it's great. And they've actually given us 25 places in the Vitality Big Half as well.
Yeah.
Because they realise that we bring diversity.
Yeah, yeah. I think the Big Half apparently has been a real success, hasn't it? I think they've really tried to give places out to different communities and different groups. And I think that's...
I'm a pacer kind of, there as well.
Yeah, it's working.
And although out. Although my personal best for a half marathon is 1:22 back in the day,
yeah,
I'm, you know, sort of like can still push 2 hours, right?
Yeah.
Under 2 hours, sorry. I'm pacing there at 3 hours, and last year I paced at 3.5 hours. It was a struggle to walk so slow, right? But it was for the greater good of those people who were struggling to walk at all.
Yeah, and that's great. Fantastic.
And that's what we're about. And our running club, as I say, on Sunday, we have our big race called Dawn to Dusk Sunlight Ultra, which starts at 8:04 at sunrise.
Yeah.
And finishes at, you can finish your last lap if you started it before 4:07. The record is by Nathan Montague, who's one of Britain's top ultra runners.
Yeah.
He's done 46 laps. That's like, yeah, well over 90 kilometres. 48 laps, in fact, 96 kilometres.
Wow.
It's a tough course if anybody wants to have a go at it.
Yeah.
Only one person's broken 3 hours on it.
Yeah,
right?
Really?
And it's it's only got two hills, one uphill and one downhill. Yeah. And that is it.
Really? Well. Great.
So that's a really we've done relay marathons on there where, you know, seven people in a team just have to do 3 laps each. We've done team marathons where 3 people in a team, once their members have done 21 laps, that's their team time, so you don't have to worry about lap times. We've encouraged kids. We have superhero races. We've introduced an intergenerational run,
really,
where grandparents run with grandchildren. And parents run with children, but they have to be in touch with each other, like either tagged or holding hands around our route. We stopped doing the grandparents one a few years ago because my wife and I kept on winning it each year, and it's like embarrassing.
It got silly. Yeah.
We were young grandparents at 44, see, that's what it was. But we've introduced it again now because we just organise it once a year for the mayor's charity, local mayor's charity.
Yeah. Great stuff.
So, no one can fault us for trying to do the right things at grassroots level.
Yeah.
And anybody who's a member of our running club for life, it's a one-off lifetime membership fee of £100 less your age. But we won't have anybody under 18.
Right.
Okay. So the idea is that when you're 18, you're going to get 72 years of lifetime membership for nothing.
Yeah.
Because any of our smaller races, you get a free entry.
Yeah.
And if you're 50, you're going to get 50 years. But if you're 90, you're only going to pay 10 years. Yeah. When Fowler Singh joined, he was 96. And when he turned 100, I asked for another £100 off of him. But that, so we've been innovative.
Yeah.
And we've been encouraging. And anybody who wants to improve their times and go for more because we haven't got the facilities,
yeah,
we are basically a feeder club to all the other local running clubs, Barking yeah. Road Runners, East End Road Runners, Dagenham 88, Ilford Athletic. We, you know, our 8 people from our club go and join them. And so we have great camaraderie but with all the other clubs. And they, on Sunday's race, we've got 350 people. And great. I would say there's only about 10 Sikhs in there.
Really?
The rest are non-Sikhs. And that's how it should be. You know, we're running out of places because everyone else wants to do our race. We've got people coming from America.
Yeah.
Chris Moon, who also got one of those awards from London Marathon. He got blown up clearing landmines for a charity in Africa.
Yeah.
And he ran the London Marathon. He was our guest runner last year. This year it's Louise Simpson, who's a double Paralympian. I've been her guide runner as well.
Great.
So, you know, we really, really encourage other sort of like role models to inspire to. And yeah. Fowler Singh and I have both said, we don't think we've inspired many people from the Asian community because otherwise there'd be more people running.
Yeah. But you need to keep at it. And, you know, it's one of those things, it's just the more buzz you can create, the better. And as long as if you can start to knock those doors down and get sort of national news support.
Well, how many other organisations can claim they've encouraged Asian grandmothers to run marathons?
Yeah, none.
And we have.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah.
So the governing bodies really need to take note and actually utilise and work with us rather than just putting up barriers of, you know, the computer says no approach.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, we shouldn't keep you too much long, Amanda. It's been great to chat. And we're putting this show out in a couple of weeks. We're going to miss the race, but I guess we'll try and push it for next year. But also, I'll put some stuff out on social media this week to so people know about it.
But our website is sikhsinthecity.org.
Okay, cool. I'll put a button so people can have a look.
And anybody who wants to donate to the Fowler Singh Clubhouse, which we want £425,000, it'll be a community asset. We're trying to make it the most eco-friendly clubhouse in the world.
Yeah.
Where, you know, so it's self-sufficient. It'll be net zero emissions, whatever, for the building.
Yeah.
Then there's a clubhouse appeal on the website. You can just donate what you want. And, you know, every penny's gratefully received.
Perfect. I'll definitely put a link to that one there. Fantastic.
Cheers. Thanks again.
Great stuff.